everyone. Welcome to Third Shot Podcast. We've got another great episode ready for you today. So thank you for joining us. And if you haven't already, like we always ask, can you please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, interact with us on Twitter. We can be found at Third Shot Podcast. And then on X, it's Third Shot Pod. You can also watch us on YouTube at Third Shot Podcast. Leave us a message. You can also give us those 5 stars and rate us. We love to see those. We love to interact in the comments. So keep it coming for us. Today, we have Uncle Greg and I as your dynamic duo. We're missing Russ. He's off doing the family thing again, but he'll be joining us in the next coming episode. So we got to hold down the fort for him. We've got our shots ready.
Does that mean I got to drink his shot too?
Yeah. Don't you have 2 over there?
No, I can only do so many.
Like this at this.
Yeah, I know. Double fist it. But cheers, Bridgie.
Cheers.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, the semester at UNLV is winding down. So things are starting to look better for us. The sun's coming out. It's warm. It's like perfect pickleball weather right now.
So we're going to ramp up because I'm coming down to see you next week.
Yes, I'm so excited. I was already checking the weather forecast. It should be like low 90s, maybe high 80s. So perfect. Beautiful. As long as we can keep the wind away, you'll catch us at Sunset Park every night.
All right. That sounds perfect.
How have you been?
I've been good. I've been, you know, fighting a little bit of a cold, but I will get that past me. I want to get onto the courts. That's what drives me nuts about being sick. It's not like anything else, but it's taking away from my pickleball time.
Yes. It's just sad because you're sitting at home thinking like, dang, I could be on the courts right now.
Playing. Exactly. And then, you know, I'm a glutton for punishment. So I'm watching professional pickleball. And I'm going, oh my gosh, look how much fun they're having. Look how good they are. I want to get out there and try that technique. I want to see that. I want to do that shot. But I was watching, you know, an interview. I forget which pro was doing it. And he was really talking about what he does after he plays matches to kind of help him, you know, keep his body in shape so he doesn't get tight and you know, hurt anything. And I was just curious, like you and I, sometimes when we're together, obviously, when we're done playing, one of the first things we think about, like, hey, let's go eat, right? Let's go. Especially
at, top of the list, yeah.
Well, you know, full disclosure, when you and I play, usually we're finishing work, we're rushing over, we're getting dressed, we're rushing over to Sunset, and we're trying to get as many games in, you know, in the evening, before it gets too late. And then by the time we're done, it's like 8 or 9 o'clock and we haven't eaten dinner yet. So we're just thinking about eating, right? Which, you know, that's one thing. But when we're not together and you're playing at a normal time, do you do anything for recovery after you play?
So, you know, in the previous episode, we've talked about what we should be doing before we start playing.
Yeah.
And I'm just as bad after where, you know, I have all these things that I know I probably should be doing to prevent some soreness the next coming days or to prevent future injuries. But, you know, my mind is always set on like, all right, I'm done. I feel good. I'm excited that I got some games in. Dinner time, usually. I do try to consume more water, though, afterwards, just because I sweat so much when I'm playing. And it's Las Vegas, so even if you're just standing outside, like, you're losing so much of your hydration. So I try to replenish in that way. I don't normally stretch until the day after, which is so bad. But that's when I know what on me is sore. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I should probably be stretching.
Right.
I use the Theragun.
Yep.
You've got one of those too. Yeah.
My thumper, right?
My thumper.
Like thump all over my legs and my hamstrings, my quads, my shoulder.
Yeah. So do you have a regular like recovery plan that you go with?
Well, I do certain things almost every time. And the things I do every time is I do stretch my legs out. I stretch my back out. So I do a lot of yoga stretches. You know, I think that has helped me a lot in recovery. I also have one of those foam rollers.
Yes, I love those.
That just feels great on my back. I love it on my back. And then I kind of roll it all over my hamstrings, my quads, kind of my hip area as well. So I think that's been very helpful. Now that the weather's getting a little better, I have a swimming pool. I don't heat the pool. So it's pretty darn cold, especially right now. It hasn't been hot enough for the sun to actually warm the pool. So the last couple of times I played, and I've been playing pretty, you know, heavy hours, you know, when I played recently, is as soon as I get home, I change into my swim shorts, and then I just go stand in the cold water for...
That's smart. Your own cryotherapy, but not as intense. Yeah.
It's probably not as cold as cryotherapy, but it's probably pretty good, you know?
Yeah, like a full ice bath almost.
Yeah. So I just go stand in it for maybe 10 minutes, you know, and then I get out and then I, you know, do my stretching and all, and then my back roll and, you know, get the roller out, and then seems to be helping.
That's awesome. It's good. You have some sort of like regime afterwards.
I think doing some type of recovery,
yeah,
it's helpful. But this is a good topic actually for our guests today. Well, let's bring in our special guest today, Steve Jordan, the author of Pickleball Power, a comprehensive guide to staying healthy and fit for peak performance. How you doing, Steve?
I'm awesome. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here on Greg and Bridgie. It's a pleasure, and I'm so excited to talk about the book and all things pickleball.
We can't wait to hear more about it. But before we jump into our questions for you, I'd like to do a toast for our second shot to you and your new book launch. It's so exciting. Yeah. It's very recent, and we can't wait to see how well you do.
Oh, it's good.
Cheers.
Pickleball players need to read this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, I know, right? That's the way to get started.
Yeah, that'll definitely get you going. The conversation's about to open up from here.
You're right.
So, Steve, start us off by telling us a little bit about your background and how did you discover pickleball?
Well, my background is in performance training. I'm a health and fitness professional that had almost a 30-year career. It's unbelievable to even say that. I fell into my career, no pun intended, after suffering a traumatic brain injury from a fall from a two-story balcony.
Whoa.
That nearly took my life. Yeah, I landed on concrete completely on my head. Fortunately, I was a athlete growing up, and at the time I was very strong mindset, strong will, and that was a catalyst to helping me recover the way that I did. I had paralysis, brain damage, tip of the tongue syndrome, hearing loss, a whole bunch of things that went on. And you can learn more about that on my website, stevejordan.com. And, but there's, you know, that mindset was something that I had shifted from like looking good and performing good on a field. And it was then used to recover. You know, it was a paradigm shift that I created. And that paradigm shift helped me to create a new way of looking at exercise, fitness, movement, and performance training, not just through movement, but through mindset, through your intention, through purpose. And so I ended up discovering the field of health and fitness, and ended up working at the White House under the Clinton administration, which was one of my first career jobs, which was awesome and definitely a pedestal that helped me kind of build and broaden my horizons. I went to New York City and did some really great things there, and then moved to LA, where then I started to become a trainer to celebrities and opened up my own fitness studio that I still own today, 17 years, and trained professional athletes, A-list celebrities that we see on camera and film, and musicians that perform, and all of those people in between, recreational athletes. And it's been an awesome career. And so I just love what I do. I love looking at some, you know, ways of doing something like physically and mastering it, being able to add tweaks and nuances and helping people perform and do better in life. that's kind of the bottom line. That's where I'm at. And that's kind of how the birth of the book came about as well.
That is so cool. That is so cool. You're known as kind of the trainer to the stars. I'm one of those pop culture junkies, right? I'm reading all this stuff. Can you mention some of the stars you might have trained?
Well, some that people very recognize. Gerard Butler was a client of mine. Lisa Kudrow, Dustin Hoffman was a great client that had a lot of really fun experiences. Some that I can't even tell you that you'd be like, "Are you kidding?" Because I have signed NDAs, but. They're people just like you and I, where, you know, they really just want to feel good. You know, they're really good at the craft, right? They're very good at their art. They're very good on camera and singing, whatever else they did. I've trained Seal, America Ferrara. Some people I even forget, you know, where it's, they come and go, but they've always been it's just really special when you get to train somebody of that caliber, because they that when you're working with them, what you're doing with them is really important to them. So your standards of training and doing what you're doing improve, because you need to excel to make sure that you're meeting what they want and need. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I got a follow-up question. You mentioned that you were training in the White House. Do they actually have a gym in the White House where the president and the staff go and use?
It's a great question. So it isn't in the White House, but it's actually adjacent to the White House, called the WAC, the White House Athletic Center. And it's in the old executive office, which is adjacent to the White House. Top security, you need a badge, you need to call ahead of time, everything very similar to the White House, but it's not on the premises. Yes.
That's pretty cool.
It was an awesome experience. I didn't get to meet, it was under the Clinton administration. I didn't get to meet Bill Clinton. I didn't see Monica Lewinsky, which was always a question. It was always a question, especially at that time when that scandal was going on. I didn't see those two, but I got to work with congressmen, senators, staff, people that worked in the White House and associated with him, and it was a privilege to do it and an honor. And it just really, what it did, it helped set my standards as a professional high, right? So everything I did and wanted to do, because of those people expected that, I wanted to make sure that I was doing and living up to those expectations.
Yeah, I mean, you have to when you're training that high caliber of a client, I would think. But, you know, wellness journey has looked a lot different than mine. Working in a campus recreation center, the people you meet are much different, but you know, they're all there for the same reason. They're there to obtain the same goals of just bettering themselves as a person.
That's right. It's so important. I mean, it's a nice thing to say, and it's obviously a kind of a perception of value. And you know, it's, as I said, career-wise, it's been awesome. I've had some really amazing experience, and I've learned a lot to help others. And that's what I believe sets me apart, is that I can really, although I often tend to dwell in that, you know, in that arena, I can then break it down in the layman's and be able to associate and build rapport and feel relatable to people. You know, so it's, you know, I'm not unattainable. You know, I'm very relatable to people, which, you know, I think has been really good for my career as well.
Yeah. So now you're taking all that knowledge, all that experience, you're bringing it into the pickleball world. Tell us a little bit how you got introduced to pickleball and what prompted you to write this book.
So I moved down to Orange County, Newport Beach area from LA during COVID. And a friend of mine was part of the Newport Beach tennis and pickleball club. And he said, "Hey, you know, why don't you come and check this out? It could be a great opportunity for you to network and kind of just build a your community down here, business and just personal." So I went and checked it out, borrowed his racket, started playing. And it was like, this is game on. that day I ended up joining the club and frequented and being able to play. And then I started to just see the nuances and the breakdowns and players and, you know, the complaints. I have a really good ear for, you know, things that are going on. They had a a slant board there where people would stretch their calves prior to going out, you know, and play. And as a professional and knowing what I know about exercise science, you know, the static stretch is not the best stretch to do before you go play a dynamic game like pickleball. So these people are going out, sitting on this slant board for 1 minute, 2 minutes, you know, stretching out their calf muscles and Achilles tendons with good intentions. But I'm like, that's not the way to go about doing it. I'd started to give some people advice. And then I, you know, was playing a few times and there were a few people that went down during the play. And I don't mean that went down with like a serious injury, but had a little something going on. I'm like, oh, this is my background. Let me help you out a little bit. Gave them a couple exercises, stretched them, helped them through it. And they're like, oh, that was very helpful. And after just seeing this and hearing this enough times, I'm like, there's an opportunity here. And that's what I've always been really good at too, is like trying to be the first kid on the block with like something that I'd be able to help people with. And I had just written another book called 22 Ways to Optimal Health and Fitness. That's my first book that I published about a year and a half ago. And, you know, the writing process is not an easy thing to do. It's quite challenging. So after doing it, just like anything, like exercising, working a muscle, once you do it once, you kind of get like the bug. You're like, oh, I want to do it again. And you learn the framework. You learn the process. You learn what to do more efficiently. So I came up with the idea. I'm like, let's do something with pickleball. And I started to look on Amazon. I started to look. And I'm like, there's not much out there. Let me write a book that's general, be able to like address people's needs and wants, not just in pickleball, but in life in general. I mean, you can be healthy and fit for this, like you got to be healthy and fit. And most people are like unhealthy or not well enough to like go out and play pickleball. I mean, there's a lot of people I'm sure that you see that are out there playing that are probably shouldn't be playing yet. You know, they need to do a little preparation physically before they're, you know, before they go out. And my goal is as an entrepreneur and a business person in the health and fitness business, just create opportunities for people to be able to do what they want to do the best that they can do, pain-free, injury-free, and as long as they can. And that's where the birth of pickleball power came from.
Well, Uncle and I are very lucky because you did share a copy of this with us. So we kind of got the inside scoop a little early, but looking through it and reading through it, it's very thorough and it covers so many different aspects of pickleball that many people probably don't consider. But what type of research went into the advice and the information that you provide in this book?
Well, you know, everything that I always say and do is science-based and background-based. Like I never like to put information out there that doesn't have a strong leg to stand on. Like what's in here, in my opinion, professionally, will not be outdated. It's not trendy. It's not going to, in 2 years or 1 year from now, become obsolete or it's going to be dismissed. There's a possibility maybe something in there may not be as exact, but based on what we've got in here, I believe everything is relevant based on science, based on peer-reviewed published studies, and just my personal experiences as well in and around the fitness business for 30 plus years.
So, Steve, there is one line in the book that just, when I read it, I like, oh my gosh, this is a cool line. I want to know like where this came from. I'm gonna read it to you. Sure. Pickleball is not just a game. It's a meditation on the present moment.
Yeah.
I love that line. How did you come up with that and where did it come from?
Yeah, well, you know, I ended up finding it like on the internet somewhere. You know, I just wanted to find something that really stood out because I think that mindset, as I said earlier, I know that mindset is one of the most important things to any sport. And to be good at anything in life, you have to have the right mindset. And it is a meditation. It's an opportunity for you to be in the moment. I don't know about you, but when I play pickleball, I'm not thinking about my bills. I'm not thinking about the work that I have to do. I'm not thinking about my family, although, you know, like it's just you're very present and it is a meditative process. So I really feel like it's one of the only sports that I've recently played, other than maybe like surfing, which I do once in a while, where you're in the moment when you're running a wave. It's only the only thing that you're thinking about when you're playing is playing because it's such a fast sport. If you lose your mindset or you lose your focus for even a second or two, there's your point. You know, like you can be totally like, you can lose your focus and lose your game.
I have a funny story about that. I was playing recently and I was playing against a guy that was pretty good. I've played against him before and he's pretty good. And I hit this shot and got by him and I was like feeling so good. And then he goes, oh man, I don't know what happened. I was thinking about something that happened last night in that moment. I didn't even see the ball come past me. I'm like, oh, I thought I hit a good shot. You're just not even concentrating. You're not even taking me seriously, dude. Come on now.
It's
you should have quoted that.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the benefits of pickleball is that it's getting us into this space where we are able to then put all the stuff, you know, the noise, the distractions that we have, you know, day to day from work, the family, and everything else in between, where we can literally put it aside for 30 minutes, an hour, however long you go and decide to play for, or the 15 to 30 minutes that you're in a match. It's truly a very in the moment sport where there's not too much time in between. I mean, from point to point, there's not a whole lot of time in between that. So you got to be focused. You got to reset. I find it to be just, it's cathartic in a lot of ways.
It really is. And to sum it up in those two sentences, I think is just really nice and, you know, like an eloquent way of thinking about the pickleball game and the health benefits or mental health benefits behind it. Uncle and I have talked to numerous people who have benefited from pickleball mentally because it clears their mind space and they feel so much better afterwards.
Yeah.
You also talk about stress and anxiety in your book too. Tell us a little bit more about the role that it plays in people's lives as well as their fitness journeys.
Yeah, absolutely. Stress and, you know, anxiety is, as you, and as many people know, it's a challenge, you know, personally and professionally. And whether you know it or not, we typically are in today's world under that stress and anxiety. It's almost become a norm, where we don't even necessarily recognize it as stress or anxiety, because the intentions that we are like in, the things that we do every day, because it almost like builds up and it becomes almost like eustress. Eustress is kind of like a good stress. We almost can't perform without that. So I feel that stress and anxiety plays a big role in pickleball, because there are, I know when I started playing, I was stressed out because I didn't understand the rules 100%. Some of the people that I played with, I had the skill level and the athletic ability to play at a level up from where I was at, but I didn't understand the little nuances of the game. And the stress and anxiety that I was feeling oftentimes became a little challenging. So I felt that this was a need to address in the book to be able to help you manage it a little bit better. I find that even going out there, and like there was a lot of times that I went to the pickleball court where nobody was available or I didn't have a friend to go with and I had to show up by myself and put my racket, you know, there and just kind of sit there waiting by myself and maybe I would have a conversation. And I'm a very outgoing person, but there was still an element of anxiety. Man, I'm not going to be good enough, or the person I'm going to be paired with isn't going to be good enough, or I'm not going to be good enough for them. And so I felt that there's a definitely stress and anxiety element to the game of pickleball that you have to overcome and manage. So I wanted to address this in a way that made people feel that they weren't alone, that they, you know, felt that there was, you know, that this was normal, you know, and ways to be able to manage that, you know, through breath work, through changing your focus, through the community and understanding the community of pickleball. At least from my experience, and I'm sure you guys feel this as well, and from all those that I've talked to as well, it's open and it's better to be vulnerable and to tell people up front about your fears and or anxieties to be able to help like diffuse them, you know? So if you walk into a court and into a game and you are single and you're going to a doubles game, you tell the person, hey, listen, you know what? I'm relatively new to the game, you know, like let's just give me a couple tips or pointers. Like, ask somebody, you know, be vulnerable, let them know where you're at so that they can meet you where you're at and you have less anxiety and stress around playing the game and you'll end up having a lot more fun.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And you know what, if you are vulnerable and the other person you know, rolls their eyes or does something like, yeah, well, you know, you're not worth you playing with me and stuff like that. You know what? They have missed the spirit of pickleball. Like, yeah. They should be on the court. Like, they have the problem. You don't. So I agree with all the advice that you provide, and I think it's really helpful. And that's what I enjoy it about the book, is that you identify the issues, but you also give something that's very manageable, something that everybody can do for themselves to help them enjoy the game more and appreciate this fantastic sport that we keep talking about. One of the other things that I think you did a really good job in is talking about the nutrition side of the sport. And not only are you saying kind of in general what you should be doing for your health, which we all know we should probably be, you know, focusing more on their nutrition, but you talk about game day, you talk about snacks, you talk about the whole series of what we should be putting in our bodies to help us optimize our performance. I think that's fantastic. You know, obviously you have a lot of background in studying this. You know, what went into figuring out what's right for a pickleball player versus a weightlifter or a football player, or, you know, other sports?
Mm-hmm. Well, you look at the sport and you bring, and thank you for that compliment. Nutrition is the foundation for any endeavor, right? Whether it be in your life, work, family, pickleball, or any other sport that you play. I always break down the sport and look at, you know, what are the, like, what's the, how much time are you playing it? What does it look like? Is it more endurance based? Is it more short, fast paced? What foods are going to be more easily digested? And there's really not too much difference between, let's say, pickleball and tennis or pickleball and baseball. You mean you have foundational principles of food and the different supplements that you can take, but you know, you want to go in. I see all the time there's a snack bar and a restaurant that's associated to my pickleball club. And I cringe at the menu, the things that I see people eating, you know, after or during, like, their game. It's not something that's healthy. And I'm always perplexed. Like, you know, it's really could be basic and simple. You want to have simple carbohydrates. Like, typically people are going to play usually early in the morning or after work, unless you have the luxury and leisure to play in the middle of your day. But you want to have something that's quickly, easily absorbed. Having some fruit, having something that like a granola mix or some other type of fast absorbed food that will give you that quick energy. And then post recovery, just like anything, working out or exercise, having carbohydrates and a protein rich diet right after you're working, after you're playing for 45 minutes, an hour, however long it is going to be essential to make sure your body gets replenished. You need to restore all those nutrients that you use for energy. Food is energy. And although you're not building muscle like you would in an exercise program, you're still using your muscles for energy and the recovery. I mean, there are times when I'm playing very, very competitively and I get sore in areas that I didn't think I would get sore. And that's because those muscles were breaking down and you end up using them in ways that you're not used to. So yeah, you want to make sure that you're getting the right nutrients to be able to fuel yourself and recover yourself. And, you know, in the book there, I give a list of things that you could use, different types of snacks, different pre-workout drinks, post-workout drinks, different fuel sources. Electrolytes are really important because a lot of times people are playing in warm weather environments and you're perspiring quite a lot. Electrolytes are right now a really big conversation and nutrient or not really a nutrient, more of a escaping the tequila's getting to me already. Yeah.
That's what I'm about here.
I'm a lightweight. It's being able to get those electrolytes in. I mean, electrolytes are so essential. If you have, and I would say this, like I would boldly say, if you did nothing at all but just put electrolytes into your water or buy water with electrolytes, and I say water, notice I didn't say Gatorade or Powerade or anything with sugar or anything like that, like water with electrolytes, your performance will and endurance will probably scale up 10 to 20%. It's amazing what electrolytes will do for your endurance and your longevity and in your recovery to play any sport, especially pickleball. So that's really one area that I would say, yeah, electrolytes are a huge micronutrient. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, you know, I always wondered too, because in the grocery store when you're shopping and you see all the different varieties of water, and the electrolyte water is a little bit more expensive. And I always think, like, is this actually helping me? But it's good to know that it is.
It is. You know, if you're not doing anything, and there's kind of two parts to that question, like, or answers to that question. It's not necessarily if you're not doing anything, right? You just, if you're not playing a sport, or there's no, if you're not perspiring a lot, and or if there's no, like, if you're doing something for a short period, let's say 20 minutes to 30 minutes, it's not necessary. But if you're playing at the level that you know, I see a lot of pickleball people playing an hour, hour and a half, you're out in hot environments, you're perspiring a lot, absolutely, it is essential to have electrolytes. So yeah, that would be the best way to do it after 30 minutes or more in any kind of activity.
So speaking of sweat, weird transition there, but speaking of sweat, I played sports my whole life, like, and all different types of sports, baseball, basketball, football, whatever, golf, all different types of sports. For whatever reason, I sweat way more playing pickleball than I've done in any sport that I've ever played. And I can't figure out why. I hydrate, right? I get the electrolytes. I think I'm doing all the right things. But I sweat profusely when I play pickleball.
I do too. Yeah.
Is there any, I mean, what's going on?
You know, that's a great question. And I'll be the first to say, like, I don't know the answer to that. And I would have to look that up. I don't know exactly why. And I'm not even sure anybody does at this point, if they've researched that. But my professional intuition says, because it's so fast paced and so you're moving really quickly, you go to really, it's like interval training, right? So, you know, if you're interval training, highs and low, right? So you're peaking and you're valleying very quickly, and you're doing it repetitively over, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever the period of time that you're playing. And I think that may be why. That's, again, an intuition. I'm not saying that is. That's not validated. But that's my intuition. That's my guess.
That does make a lot of sense, right? It's just it's just constant interval training, constant. Like every constant 30 seconds, every 30 seconds, like you're doing these bursts.
It's almost like, you guys ever heard of the workout Tabata? It's a Japanese form of working out exercise where it's like 4 minutes. You do intervals of 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. And they found in the research that it's a very good, fast way to build cardiovascular endurance, strength training. It's kind of CrossFit-y, like you're doing burpees, you're doing mountain climbers, you're doing real high intensity, a lot of big movement exercises in a short amount of time. And that's with pickleball. You're using your entire body. There's a lot of stopping and going, changing direction. So it's very, very dynamic. And the focus also, I mean, you got to be really focused, as we talked about just earlier, in the moment when you're playing pickleball, which requires a lot of energy. I always feel like mentally, like when I'm playing, again, you're not thinking about anything else because you don't have the time to think about anything else. The ball's coming at you really fast, and you got to be able to react very fast.
That is so true. And one of our favorite chapters was on functional strength training. And I think it would be really beneficial for our listeners, as well as for Uncle and I, because we're always talking about what we can be doing more to enhance our performance on the pickleball court. So in your opinion, what are like the top five exercises that somebody could be doing as a functional strength training to improve their pickleballing?
So I would start with change of direction lunges. That would be the first exercise. It'd be change of direction, like being, so lunging, when people lunge, they typically go in the forward sagittal plane, forward and back. You want to do a lateral lunge or a frontal plane lunge and or a transverse plane lunge. And the reason for that is because pickleball, as you know, is not just forward and back. It's side, it's lateral, it's turning, change of direction. that's where most injuries end up occurring, in those planes of motion that we don't use, the side. So three planar lunges would be the first and foremost. Planking, a side plank. So side plank is another one, because again, that lateral movement that occurs, your body is always like, you're not able to move in a fast direction or change your direction quickly if you don't have good support side to side. I found that back problems are a big issue, not just in general, but especially in pickleball, because of that change of direction. And side planks are a great way to build lateral support in your spine. So it gives you the ability to change direction. Cobras. So a floor cobra, where you're working your posterior upper back and shoulder muscles, because pickleball is a very forward. We're serving, we're volleying, we're using everything in the front of our body and shoulders. We want to build up the back of our shoulders and the back of our back and upper back, so that we have good posture and we have the ability to stand straight and move in a direction and be able to lead with our shoulders, because change of direction doesn't necessarily just come from the ground up. It comes from the shoulders up. You have to move your upper body in the direction that you're moving. So that would be the third one. I would say wrist exercises. I'm experiencing clients now that are starting to call it pickleball elbow, like tennis elbow. Yeah. They're starting to get pickleball elbow. So I would do wrist exercises. So flexion, extension with dumbbells, different types of movements where you're building the muscles of your forearm, especially in flexion. Flexion is when your palm is up and you're curling a bar or a dumbbell when you're curling against gravity and curling it up, building the muscles in the front of the forearm, because many of us are using computers, building the top of the forearm. So we want to be able to counterbalance that, and it will take away the stress on that lateral part of that elbow there that, you know, now we're calling and finding pickleball elbow. And then last but not least, I would do something dealing with the hamstrings and glutes, because again, that's going to be where your power is coming from. So not necessarily just power in your serve or your volley, but just power in your ability to move on the court more, building agility. So bridges, straight leg deadlifts, even being able to do a deadlift, working like with heavier weights and lifting from the ground up. So those would be the five basic exercises, not too basic, but exercises that I would incorporate into your program. And I've got a great Instagram account called Best Pickleball Workouts, where some of these exercises are addressed and you can see them on there. And that's kind of the platform that I started to kind of build some momentum in the pickleball arena as a professional and coach, and being able to address what I felt the needs and sort of the areas that I feel people should think about when they're playing, just to be safe and to make sure they're playing, the best that they can play for as long as they can.
We need to follow that Instagram account.
That's such good advice. Such good advice.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Steve, because Bridgie and I were having a conversation in a previous episode where we asked each other if we had, let's call it $200 a month that we could spend on our bodies, right? Mm. How would you spend the $200? Mm. And great question. We both came up with our answers, right? And, Bridgie was talking about getting massage therapy, right? And that was a big thing. I had just tried cryotherapy. So I thought that was the first time I tried it. I felt that was very helpful for me. Plus, I like chiropractic work. I have kind of, some work that needs to be done. I need to stay aligned. So that would be how I would spend my money. How would you spend $200 a month?
So those are great. And I would agree with both of you on them. Massage is great. I love cryotherapy and chiropractic. Recovery is huge, as well, as you find in the book. But I would spend it on nutrition.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know why? Because, nutrition, you are what you eat, and your performance, your longevity, your recovery, everything, your sleep, all of those attributes and benefits that you will see, feel, and be able to quantify can come from your nutrition. I've always said to clients, don't be cheap on your food. And I find that too many people, they tend to have high standards and will give themselves the freedom to spend money in certain areas, but they tend to be a little bit less, I want to say frivolous, but they invest less in food. So high quality food, low, no process, hormone free, free range, just the best quality of food that money can buy would go a long way.
That's a really good response. Yeah. Now I'm going to have to cut my massage therapy in half and spend the other 100 on nutrition.
No, I think it just means we got to spend $400 a month.
Yeah. Or you can find you guys are in the Bay Area. I know down here we have a place called The Joint, which is a chiropractic. And I think it's more of a kind of a, that's my son there. It's more of a franchise kind of model where you can pay a monthly membership of about $100. And you can get chiropractic like 2-3 appointments a month, which I think is a very general. And being able to, sorry guys,
that's okay.
That's all right. He wants to be on the show.
He does.
We like special guests. If he wants to join you,
he's an almost 2-year-old, going on 5. He's very very dynamic, and he loves pickleball. He knows one of the, he'll say pickleball. It's funny. It's cute. So The Joint is a great place, and then massage, you have Massage Envy, which also they have monthly kind of subscriptions, things that you could pay ahead of time where it cuts the cost down, but you're still getting some benefit. It may not be as good as like some of the high service, high price ticket items, massage or chiropractic, but you could still like work within a budget and then be able to balance that with nutrition if you had a budget of $200 to work with. I always find there's always solutions. It may not be the best, but the average of all of them would be like in combination better than nothing or just one or two of them.
Yeah, that's some great advice. And that's just a little insight as to how good of advice you can get by reading your book. So for our listeners who may be interested in learning more about this, where can they get a copy of your book?
So Amazon, Pickleball Power, and it's available in Kindle edition and the soft cover, paperback right now. And I will, in early May, I'm going to do it in audiobook as well. So that'll be available soon. It's a great read. It's something that you can use. You know, it's not necessarily a cover to cover read, but you can use it as a guide, right? You can read it cover to cover. I'm sure you both would agree, but you can continuously go back to it and reference it. And that's what I like about it. It can become a reference, a tabletop, like kind of coffee tabletop book where, you know, you keep it around and look at something if you're interested in one area and kind of can go back to it and refresh it. And maybe at a different time during your play and during your life, or if you need something in a moment, like that can become a reference. So I wrote it to become almost as a reference and a guide for life, so in and around pickleball and making it as useful as possible. And everything in there, I feel, is very applicable. You don't necessarily need to go out and do anything special. So I find that you can read it and you can use some of the things and tactics in there and skills and different resources that I've made available for you and use it today. So that's what I love about it. It's not something that you need to wait for.
Yeah, it is very applicable. And I like the fact that you cover so many different areas. We just touched on a few of the chapters that we enjoyed, but there's so many others that we didn't even get a chance to share. I wish we had a 5-hour show because there's so much in there. You want to talk a little bit about like what chapters are there and what you touch upon in within the book before we let you go today?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, one of my favorite chapters, and I'll tell you, is if you go to the longevity in pickleball. I mean, I think that that's most important. I think that's, you know, longevity in life, you know, is what it's kind of the hot topic right now. So in health and fitness and longevity. But longevity in pickleball is also important. I feel like pickleball, you see so many age ranges right now, even in professional, you got 15-year-olds and, 60-year-olds and 70-year-olds. And I think that's what's so unique about it. We haven't necessarily seen this happen yet in pickleball because it hasn't been that, I mean, it's been around for a while, but not as the sport as we know it today. So longevity, I believe, is the chapter in longevity is what I'm really interested in, is because I want to see people play this for life. I want to see people like not just play for 6 months. And, you know, I want them to see almost like golf. Golf would be another sport, or even tennis. Like, you go to the club or you see people who in their 60s and 70s who can beat a 40-year-old, you know, that like right. Pickleball is unique as that. There are very few sports that you can see somebody old playing against somebody young and be better, because there is a longevity in it and you get better as you age, and there's wisdom in that. So that's one of the chapters that I like. The other one, even pickleball community, right? So as we mentioned earlier in this episode, the pickleball community is fun. It's inviting. It's fun. You know, there's so many different types of, you know, programs that they do and fun events that they do. I love seeing some of the ones where, you know, they have them black lights and, you know, costumes. I haven't yet participated in one of those. Perhaps I will, as especially I start to market this and do more outreach. But it's, you know, it's a fun sport. There's something that brings the nature of like the kid out in you again. So I like that as well, you know, because I feel today we're very isolated, whether it be in our lives and our work, and, you know, everybody's on their phones. Like, community is a big, important topic today. And I believe the pickleball community is one that we're starting to bridge that and making people feel connected again. So I feel that that's really important. And, you know, there's just, you know, I feel like everyone could be, you know, we talked about nutrition and the one here we didn't really touch on, injury prevention. That's another huge one. I mean, again, we talked a little bit just about, you know, but injuries are playing a big role. I have several relationships with physical therapists in the community here that I work with, and they're telling me the number one reason for office visits today is pickleball.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, pickleball injuries. And some of the injuries, like an Achilles tendon tear, are not fun, and they can be devastating and even life altering and changing to the point where you may not be able to play pickleball again, let alone like do the things that you like to do before playing pickleball. So I really think it's important to emphasize and stress the importance of warm up, cool down, taking care of your body, proper nutrition, doing modalities like you suggested, cryotherapy, the chiropractic, seeing a physical therapist earlier than later. If you're feeling like you got a little tweak, a little tennis or pickleball elbow, something that's just not feeling right or normal, don't necessarily wait it out to see if it'll go away, and or don't be a hero and try and play through it. Definitely get it addressed early, because the earlier you can get it and like deal with it, the better off you'll have a chance of recovering fully and possibly never having that injury again.
Great advice. I wish I had you. We talked to you about a year ago.
What happened?
Well, you know, it's something you talked about earlier, and Bridget was smiling as you were talking about it. I have a lot of carpal tunnel issues from work, and then it just developed when I played pickleball into that pickleball elbow issue. And I tried to be the tough guy and kind of play through it and figure out, try and do different exercises, stuff like that. And I just aggravated it worse. And it wasn't a pretty sight for a little while. So I had to give it some rest and did a lot of stretching, did a lot of exercises for it. And I'm back on the court now. So it made it through it.
Great. Good. Yeah. Well, you can prevent that. You know, the sooner you address it, you might not have that time, you know, where you're not able to play. You can get out there sooner than later.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm going to do some of those exercises that you had spoken about, so it prevents it from happening again.
Absolutely. And I'm going to
go ahead.
Something, sorry to interject there, but if it's something that came up, right, just know that it's something that might manifest or come about again. There's a weakness there. And, you know, pickleball, you know, the racket sport, there's a very, there's overuse injury there. And that's typically part of the reason why it happens. You're overusing it, and there's some imbalances that are happening at the shoulder and the elbow. But you want to address it. It could be part of your warm-up before you go out and play. Even if you're not experiencing any pain, don't think that it's not around the corner. So, you know, just address it as almost like you're flossing your teeth. You're preventing a cavity when you floss your teeth. If you do the exercises, even though you're not experiencing pain, you're preventing the possibility of that ever coming up and resurfacing again.
Well, I definitely want to go check out your Instagram account that talks about those exercises. Hit everybody up with all the different Instagram accounts you have, your websites, so that people can find all the fantastic advice that you provide.
Great. Thank you. So pickleballpowerbook.com is also where the website is for the book. And there's some information on there. And then you can go to stevejordan.com, which is my personal website. You just find a whole bunch of information on me there. And then the Instagram account is the Best Pickleball Workouts. You'll find free, great exercises, things that you can do today with little or no equipment to be able to manage your body and your mind and be able to perform at the best level that you can play at. And then my personal Instagram account as well is _Steve Jordan. And you'll find some stuff on there as well. So those are the four main areas that you can find me. Open to questions, to any information if you might need and want. I'll give you my email address. It's steve@stevejordan.com. I love questions. I love interacting. I'm very generous with the information that I give. And I love coaching people. So if you're also interested in coaching, no matter where you're at, I virtually coach. I have clients that live in Manhattan Beach, which is about an hour away from where I live. And she's actually just playing at a tournament in Portugal and placed first place in her age group in the 50 and above. So I'm really proud of her for that. And she had a knee problem, bone on bone, pretty much about a year plus ago. And her number one goal was to get back onto the pickleball court and volleyball court. I told her that I was going to be able to do that for her. Within a year, I was able to do that. And she's playing in a tournament in Portugal right now and on the volleyball court doing the things that she's doing. So I know what I'm doing. I love doing it. And I'd be honored and privileged to help you out if you have any challenges physically, with some any kind of pain, or you just want to perform at your best, let me know. I'd be happy to do that for you. Just get in touch with me at any one of those outlets I just shared earlier.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing all of those with us. We've got one more shot to do. It's our favorite one because it's the third shot. Got a pour over here. We're going to do one last toast to Pickleball Power. And to you, Steve, for sharing your passion as well as all of your wonderful information with us. So thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. The privilege is all mine. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Bridgie, and everybody for listening. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Woo. And thank you so much for coming on the show with us, Steve. It was really a wealth of information, and I highly endorse people to check out the book. It's a good read. And like you said, it's a good reference whenever you can go back to it at any time. You just need kind of a little resource to kind of help you through whatever you're looking to help you with, you know? So I think it's a fantastic book. So great job.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys very much. Thank you.
You got it. And thank you for all joining us on Third Shot, where Bridgie and I will continue to share our pickleball journey. Special thanks to Steve Jordan. He's been fantastic in joining us today and just dropping all that education to help us stay on the court and really enjoy the game like we all want to do. So we promise that if you keep supporting us and getting onto our social media accounts, getting onto our podcast platforms and subscribing, giving us the 5 stars, we will continue to have amazing guests just like Steve in future episodes. And we would continue to share our enjoyment for the game and grow this pickleball community. See you next time on Third Shot Podcast.